So our reading today, Daniel 3, verses 8 to 18. At this time, some astrologers came forward and denounced the Jews. Sorry, I couldn't read my own writing. They said to King Nebuchadnezzar, "May the king live forever. Your majesty has issued a decree that everyone who hears the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music must fall down and worship the image of gold, and whoever does not fall down and worship will be thrown into a blazing furnace. But there are some Jews whom you have sent over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who pay no attention to you, your majesty. They neither serve your gods nor worship the image of gold you have set up." Furious with rage, Nebuchadnezzar summoned Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So these men were brought before the king, and Nebuchadnezzar said to them, "Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the image of gold I have set up? Now, when you hear the sound of the flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipe, and all kinds of music, if you are ready to fall down and worship the image I made, very good. But if you do not worship it, you will be thrown immediately into a blazing furnace. Then what god will be able to resolve you from my hand?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up."
I did give the option of not reading all those complicated names. My notes have died. There we go. Now, I think we've got a first slide. There we go, washing of hands. Now, I've forgotten to bring it, but I wanted to bring my hand wash bottle from the kitchen sink. It was given to me, us, I should add, just because it's the kitchen sink doesn't mean to say it's mine. because it's got one of those nice inspirational quotes that we sometimes have on a fridge magnet or something like that. And our bottle, do you know what our bottle says? That would be quite an inspirational quote. But it actually says, "Faith is not believing God can, it's knowing he will." Do we agree with that statement? About that? Now, it's not a verse from the Bible, so just in case somebody's trying to look it up. And it is one of those statements that tries to affirm our faith. But I'm not sure on its own it's completely correct. It's certainly not a complete theology of faith, because it depends how you end that sentence. Because what happens when we pray in absolute faith, "I know he will do this," and he doesn't? Because sometimes that happens. What happens when we pray knowing God will and he doesn't? He doesn't provide that job we've been praying for. He doesn't heal our bodies or ease the pain that we suffer. He doesn't protect our children from the perils of the internet. He doesn't part the sea. He doesn't save us from the fiery furnace or rescue us from the lion's den. What then is the nature of faith? Because if that's all our faith is, then we might be on very shaky ground. There's nothing wrong with having something that encourages our faith, but we have to make sure that we are understanding the bigger picture. when we look at the stories that we've thought about briefly today, Daniel's willingness to stand up to Darius's decree and get himself thrown to the lions, Meshach, Shadrach and Abednego's refusal to worship a statue and risk being thrown into a burning furnace. Did they pray knowing that God would rescue them? But he didn't. They still went through those things. So what type of faith did they live by? Was it a contingent faith or a confident faith? Because the one thing they all knew with certainty, the one thing they knew would happen, was that their lives were in danger if they stayed true to their faith in God. They believed God could save their lives, but they did not know that he would. They prayed in faith, but they prayed like Esther we heard last week. They effectively said the same as her, "I will follow, but if I perish, I perish." They stated, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from it, from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. They believed absolutely in the power of God to rescue them, but they still allowed and for that moment and said, even if he does not. In using that phrase, they are not casting doubt on God's ability to save them or his sovereignty over the situation, and they were not giving themselves a get-out clause. Because far from this being a sign of weakness, it is a sign of strength. It is a statement of confidence, not contingency. A contingent faith is one that is reliant on what God does, what he gives us. It relies on God doing the things we want him to do. It's based on the blessings that we expect to receive from God when we become a follower of Jesus. It is contingent on God doing something for us that we want him to do. And that is, I think, a definition of how the world sees faith. They expect Christians to live something of a charmed life and mock us when we do not. I mean, if God doesn't give you a better life, a bigger house, a faster car, a miraculous healing, or prevents you from falling ill in the first place, what's the point of that God? What's the point of believing in a God unless he gives you something? That is a contingent faith. We may not be so crass as to bluntly pray, "Oh Lord, won't you give me a Mercedes Benz," like the song. But there is this niggling thought that, if we're honest, many of us have, that if I'm not seeing God answer my prayers, where is God? I mean, I prayed knowing he will. And after the dreadfully sad news from the big church festival 2 days ago, there are people, and you can see the comments on social media if you wish to, that are already expressing that view. Where was God? Where was your God when that sign fell down? Why didn't he protect that festival, that gathering of worship and praise? Why didn't he protect that man and the other people who were injured? And it's that idea of faith that people often use as an excuse or reason not to place their faith in God. It's because they see faith as contingent on God doing something for them, giving Christians something of a charmed life. He's only worth placing faith in God if he gives more benefits and blessings, and in one way or another gives a more comfortable life. But the example of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, or Elijah or Esther, or any of the others that we can find in the Bible, is that they had a confident faith, not a contingent faith. They had a confident faith and not a contingent faith because it was based on who God is. Being able to say, even if you do not do whatever it is, I will still have faith in you. It's placing confidence in the God who knows better than we do. It is based on understanding the identity of God. The one we've just sung is holy, 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 who is eternal. When we are a moment, we are a vapor, and he is eternal. It is based on understanding the identity of God, whose ways are always higher than ours. These heroes of the Bibles, their confident faith was because they knew their faith was in the one true God. And that's the point. They were being pressurized with the threat of death to worship false gods and false idols, but because their faith was based on the identity of God, they did not falter or flinch. They were not prepared to compromise. Even if there was no guarantee their lives would be saved, they were determined. They set their faces like flint, as from Isaiah's prophecy earlier on. They would not lose their confidence in who God is. They trusted in God, who was all-powerful, all-present. They would not hedge their bets and worship other gods or another statue or the edict of a king. They were so confident that their understanding of who God is was correct that they were more concerned to follow God's ways than to cling on to their own lives. It was their God who said, "You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not worship or bow down to idols." And because they understood who God was, they knew following his rules was more important than clinging on to their own earthly lives. A confident faith knows that God can, knows that God might, but is unwilling to compromise if God does not. The example of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is to have a faith that accepts that even if you go public, and they did, even if you go public and risk humiliation for saying God can, it is still not worth capitulating to the idea that faith should be contingent on God proving himself by answering our prayers in the way we want, in our timing. It is not contingent on God acting in the world in the way that the world thinks that God should act. For both Daniel and for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God did save them, but even if he had not, it would not and does not diminish who God is. It does not diminish who he is to us. It does not diminish his power to act in the world today. It does not diminish what he has commanded us and how he has commanded us to live. And it does not diminish the eternal promise of hope and life in Jesus Christ. So when I speak about having a confident faith in the identity of God, I'm not just talking about him as the creator and as powerful and mighty, though he is, of course, those things. But it's understanding his nature and his characteristics so that we understand the basis of how he will yield that power. Why he might do things we don't understand. What his overreaching motivation is. And why and how he allows the world to function in the way that he does. It's understanding that we don't understand exactly all those things in his power and majesty. But seeking to understand as much as we can about who God is and what he is like is the foundation of having a confident, not a contingent faith. It's the same confident faith that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the other heroes had. And it's not about turning us into heroes, not perhaps in the same way that they had, but it's being confident in the God that we follow. It's confident faith, setting our faces like flint to say, no matter what, no matter what, even if life is tough, and I know for many of us and our friends and family and loved ones, life is tough. But a confident faith that says, even if I am going through this struggle, even if God doesn't necessarily give me the miracle I want, I will not flinch or falter in holding faith in him. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. And he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. That is the reality of faith. That is the reality of a confident faith. It keeps going, even if. Let us pray. Loving God, in these moments of quiet, help us to reflect on what it is to have a confident faith in who you are, not contingent on the blessings we think we should have. Help us to learn and understand more of all you are, knowing that in your greatness, in your holiness, in your majesty, you are always going to be more than we can fully understand. But help us to grow in knowledge and understanding each day. Help us to trust in you no matter what, knowing that you are the God who comes close not to put something in our hand, but to hold our hand through the storms of life. And Lord, when the world mocks and laughs, help us to say to ourselves, no matter what they may say, no matter what they may do, we will not bow down to other gods and other idols. We will set our face like flint and follow your way, knowing that we will not be put to shame. And we pray that in the name of Jesus. Amen. And our last hymn.